Hello and welcome to ArxiV LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we look at a new ArxiV paper every day and try to keep up with the ridiculous speed of AI innovation, but in a way that stays practical. Today we're going to dig into a paper and see what it actually changes for people building or using AI. The paper we're looking at today is titled General Agent Evaluation. We're talking about it now because it tackles a growing problem. How to evaluate generalist agents that perform across many tasks and environments, rather than narrow single-task models. Mark will look at it from the field, real-world usage, and Jamie will look at the AI and technical side. Concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing, and what need does it meet today? Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
Thanks, Alex. On the ground, I see a lot of operational pain points. Different teams run their own ad hoc tests, so procurement gets conflicting reports about a vendor's capabilities. Product and ops expect predictable behavior across workflows, but current evaluations are siloed. One benchmark for chat, another for summarization, another for code. That makes it hard to compare generalist agents that promise to do many things. Standardized, multitask evaluation would give a common language for vendor comparisons, deployment gating, and risk assessments. It would also help set realistic SLAs and clarify where additional engineering or guardrails are needed before rollout.
So you're saying teams need a single, reproducible way to measure how well an agent handles a range of real tasks so procurement and ops can make consistent decisions. Got it. Jamie, from the AI side, why is this kind of approach showing up now?
Two big technical drivers. First, models are moving from narrow specialists to agents that chain tools, act in environments, and juggle tasks. That complexity breaks single-task benchmarks. Second, research is pushing for robustness and generalization. We want agents that transfer skills across contexts. That requires multi-task, environment-aware evaluation suites that measure not just accuracy on one data set, but success rates, task switching, resource use, and sometimes even faithfulness or safety signals. So the field needs evaluation frameworks that are architecture agnostic and can handle diverse task types and metrics.
Right. Multitask, environment aware, and broader metrics beyond accuracy. Mark, quick follow-up. Can you give one concrete example of how this would change a procurement or team decision?
Sure. Imagine a company comparing three assistant vendors for customer support and scheduling. Today, they might test each on separate demos. With this framework, they'd run the same multitask suite and get a single scorecard showing strengths and weaknesses across workflows, latency, and failure modes. That makes it clear which vendor needs extra engineering for integrations, which meets latency SLAs, and which ones should be pilot deployed versus further tested.
Perfect. That clarifies the practical need and why unified evaluation matters. We'll dig into what the paper actually proposes next, but first, thanks, Mark and Jamie, for setting the stage.
The paper's main contribution is an evaluation framework explicitly built for generalist agents. Instead of one-off benchmarks, the authors propose a standardized harness that runs agents across a curated mix of tasks and environments. Think chat, code, API control, simulated environments, and structured workflows, and records a richer set of metrics: task success or completion, step-level errors, latency and resource use, robustness to task switching, and safety faithfulness signals. It's architecture agnostic. Any agent that exposes the expected interface can be plugged in. They also formalize how to aggregate scores into multi-task summaries, define stress tests and scenario generators, and provide protocols to make runs reproducible and comparable across labs or vendors.
So in plain terms, it's a single test bench that runs an agent through lots of different jobs, measures more than just accuracy, and gives you repeatable, comparable reports. Mark, what would adopting something like this actually change for teams?
Practically, teams would move from scattered manual demos to a centralized evaluation pipeline. Instead of teams spinning up separate tests, you'd have a shared suite where product, ops, and procurement can run the same scenarios. That changes processes. Proposals and vendors are judged on the same scorecard. Deployments get gated by multitask thresholds, and engineering work is prioritized against concrete failure mode reports rather than vague feedback.
Okay, a shared, repeatable pipeline that makes vendor and team comparisons fairer. Jamie, can you place this next to what we had before? How is it different technically from older benchmarks or human ad hoc testing?
Older benchmarks were mostly narrow, single data sets for question answering, summarization, or code generation. They measured a few metrics like EM or F1. Human ad hoc testing varies by team and isn't reproducible. This framework is multimodal and multitask by design, and it formalizes environment interactions and orchestration, including tool use and sequential decision making. It also introduces systematic stress tests and aggregation rules, so a single summary score can reflect trade-offs rather than hiding them. Importantly, it documents test specifications so others can rerun the exact experiments.
So it moves evaluation from narrow, one-off tests to systematic, repeatable multitask runs that account for real agent behavior. Mark, walk us through how a team would adopt it step by step and what processes they'd need to change.
First step, pick or extend the task suite to fit your business workflows. Don't run the generic suite blind. Second, integrate the harness into your CI or ML platform so evaluations are automated on model or config changes. Third, define acceptance criteria and SLAs per job and an overall gating policy. Organizationally, ML platform or an evaluation team should own the harness, product owners contribute task definitions, and legal security owns safety thresholds. Finally, Surface results in scorecards for procurement and dashboards for ops, so decisions are data-driven.
Got it. Now, Jamie, on the technical side, how do they recommend combining so many metrics into something decision useful? How do you avoid one metric dominating the result?
The paper proposes multi-level aggregation. You keep per-task metrics for diagnosis, then compute grouped aggregates, e.g. by capability, dialogue, API control, code. For overall ranking, they suggest weighted aggregation with transparency on weights and multi-objective views like Pareto frontiers so you can see trade-offs between latency, success rate, and safety. They also emphasize statistical controls, repeat runs, confidence intervals, and significance tests so differences aren't noise. Finally, they recommend scenario-based stress tests and threshold checks rather than relying on a single scaler.
So you maintain detailed breakdowns for troubleshooting, but you can also get an overall explainable ranking with uncertainty. Mark, one last practical angle. Where exactly does this sit in the tool chain from R&D to procurement?
It sits across the whole pipeline. R&D uses it during model iteration to catch regressions and measure capability improvements. QA uses it for pre-release validation and to verify integration points. Procurement uses the same frozen suite to compare vendors objectively. Operationally, it should be part of the ML platform, hooked into CI for frequent checks and into gating systems for staged rollouts. That cross-cutting placement is what makes it useful rather than just another research benchmark.
Thanks. That ties the technical design back to real workflows. A reusable harness that lives in your CIML platform gives detailed diagnostics and an explainable aggregate for decisions. Mark, Jamie, really helpful. We'll move on to use cases next. Mark, if we applied this in a real team, what would it look like day-to-day for a simple validation use case?
In a simple operational case, you'd pick the handful of workflows that matter, say customer support triage, meeting scheduling, billing lookups, and use the suite to run a canonical scenario for each. Instead of manual demos, every vendor or internal assistant gets the same run: success, completion rates, step-level errors, latency, and a short failure log. Procurement gets a single scorecard that highlights where an agent meets SLAs and where it needs engineering work. Ops gets concrete playbooks. If the agent fails at a particular API integration twice in a row, block rollout until the integration is fixed. That turns vague, it's flaky feedback into specific remediation tasks.
So basically, replace bespoke demos with repeatable scenario runs and a clear scorecard. Mark, now take me to the advanced case. What does a full rollout look like across teams?
For an advanced rollout, you bake the harness into CI and the ML platform. Lightweight smoke tests run on every model change or PR. A fuller multitask run executes nightly or weekly. Results feed cross-team scorecards. R&D watches regressions, product watches capability trends, procurement runs side-by-side vendor comparisons on the same frozen suite. You set multi-level gates, smoke checks to allow integration testing, a higher multitask threshold to permit staged rollout, and safety thresholds that must be satisfied before broad deployment. The ML platform or an evaluation team owns orchestration. Product and security own task definitions and thresholds. Dashboards and alerts automate pilot promotions or rollbacks based on those gates.
To connect that to the paper's mechanics, the CI-friendly tests rely on metrics the paper emphasizes: per-task success completion, step-level error rates, latency resource use, and safety faithfulness signals. The harness supports repeat runs and confidence intervals, so CI isn't tripped by noise. For gating, you use per-task thresholds plus aggregated views, capability groups, and multi-objective analyses like Pareto frontiers to decide trade-offs. For example, higher throughput at slightly lower accuracy might be acceptable for scheduling but not for compliance workflows. Scenario generators let you inject edge cases into nightly runs, so gates capture brittle behavior before production.
Good, that covers the mechanics. Who should actually run these evaluations, how often, and how strict should the decision thresholds be?
Operationally, the ML platform or a dedicated evaluation team should run and own the harness. Product defines the task list and acceptance criteria. Security legal set safety gates. Frequency. Run lightweight checks on every push, full multitask runs nightly or weekly, and a deep stress test before major releases or vendor selection. Decision thresholds should be tiered. Strict safety thresholds that block production, capability thresholds for staged rollout, and advisory scores used by procurement for vendor shortlisting. Start conservative for safety critical flows, then relax thresholds after successful pilots and monitoring data.
For vendor comparisons and risk gating, use the same frozen suite and report confidence intervals so differences are meaningful. Include cost and latency as first-class metrics in the comparison. A higher success rate that costs triple the infra may not be worth it. For risk gating, automated checks plus staged rollouts are key. Fail fast in a canary cohort, collect production telemetry, and tie that telemetry back to the same metrics used in evaluation so you can recalibrate thresholds with real-world data.
Thanks. So teams run small fast checks often and full reproducible suites on a schedule with transparent thresholds and staged rollouts to manage risk. That makes vendor comparisons and deployment decisions much more objective.
At a technical level, the authors assume you can run agents in controlled environments where tasks, APIs, and sim state are instrumented and repeatable. That means curated datasets or scenario generators, stable simulator fidelity for environment interactions, and a standard agent interface so the harness can drive tool calls and observe outcomes. They also assume you can run repeated trials to estimate variance. Known limitations. No suite covers every real-world edge case, so coverage gaps and domain shift remain. Agents can be brittle to small environment differences. Metrics can be misaligned with real user value, e.g. high completion rates but poor faithfulness. And the evaluation cost and latency can be high when you run many scenarios or heavy simulators. For future work, the paper suggests richer, more realistic environments, tighter human evaluation loops to capture subjective quality and safety, robustness stress tests, methods to reduce sim-to-real gaps, and better ways to aggregate multi-objective metrics that reflect deployment priorities.
So in plain terms, the test bench works best when you can control and replay tasks, but it won't magically cover every real-world surprise. It can be expensive to run, and the numbers don't always map directly to what users feel. Mark, what does that mean for an organization wanting to adopt this? What setup and governance do they need?
Concrete implications. You need instrumentation, detailed logging, traceable API inputs/outputs, and telemetry that ties evaluation scenarios to production traces. Data collection processes matter. Product teams must define canonical task scenarios and edge cases, and security legal must define safety thresholds. Operationally, the ML platform or a dedicated evaluation team should own the harness and orchestration. Practically mitigate limitations by sampling scenarios rather than running everything all the time, using staged rollouts and canaries to catch sim-to-real gaps, and budgeting for regular deep runs only before big releases or vendor choices. Also prioritize tasks, focus expensive tests on safety-critical flows, and cheaper smoke checks for routine CI.
Okay. Instrument everything, own the harness centrally, sample smartly, and use staged rollouts. Jamie, on the technical side, what should teams do to reduce brittleness and make the evaluation signals more trustworthy.
A few technical mitigations. Use domain randomization and scenario generators to surface brittleness. Include adversarial and corner case tests, and run repeated trials to compute confidence intervals so you can tell noise from real regressions. Integrate human-in-the-loop checks for subjective quality and safety where automated metrics fall short. Calibrate metrics against production telemetry. Map evaluation success and error types to real user impact. Finally, make evaluation cost-aware. Prioritize latency and cost as explicit metrics and consider cheaper proxies for expensive simulators during fast CI cycles.
Great, that gives teams both organizational steps and technical fixes. Mark, before we move on, can you give a short pragmatic checklist? Who owns what, and the first three things an org should do to get started?
Short checklist. 1. Define and freeze a small business-critical task suite with product-owning task specs. 2. Integrate the harness into your ML platform CI and make an evaluation team responsible for runs and reproducibility. 3. Set tiered thresholds with security legal for safety gates and ops for rollout policies. Also ensure end-to-end instrumentation so evaluation failures map to actionable remediation. Start with frequent lightweight checks and schedule deep runs selectively, and treat evaluation as part of the release process, not an optional research activity.
Briefly on results, the authors run their harness on a mix of public benchmarks and custom simulated scenarios that cover dialogue, code, API control, and structured workflows. They report per-task success completion rates, step-level error rates, latency and resource use, plus aggregated multitask scores and faithfulness safety signals. Compared to single-task baselines and ad hoc demos, their framework produces higher aggregated consistency and clearer trade-off surfaces. For example, it surfaces agents that keep steady performance across tasks versus those that spike on one capability. Experiments were done in controlled, instrumented environments with repeated trials, confidence intervals, and some simulated stress tests. They did not run large-scale live production deployments in the paper. So results are promising, but in a simulated or lab setting.
So in everyday terms, their framework shows it can rank agents more reliably across many jobs and reveal trade-offs like speed versus accuracy, which should mean fewer surprise failures when you switch an assistant between workflows. But those numbers come from controlled runs, not production telemetry. Mark, from a field perspective, what should teams expect when they try to use these numbers in the real world?
Expect a gap. Lab scores are a useful guide, but usually overestimate production performance because of domain shift, uninstrumented integrations, and live user behavior. Practically, you need calibration. Map the harness metrics to production telemetry, run canaries and staged rollouts, and treat evaluation scores as one signal among monitoring and user metrics. Also plan for extra engineering. Instrument APIs end-to-end, add fallbacks for brittle steps the harness flags, and automate recalibration as you collect live data. Who benefits most? Organizations that operate multiple workflows or manage vendor portfolios, enterprises, regulated industries, and teams that require predictable SLAs will gain the most because the framework turns subjective demos into repeatable, auditable evidence.
One sentence. The paper provides a practical, reproducible evaluation harness that helps teams compare and gate generalist agents across real workflows, making procurement and deployment decisions more evidence-based. To finish, a quick reminder. The English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on embalati.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArcSieve LLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.